Please turn with me in your bulletins as we say together the unison of prayer. God of life and death, birth and rebirth, in this season of Lent, we begin our journey to the cross and to what is beyond. We pray that your Spirit will be with us here in worship and in the days to follow. Sharpen our focus that our attention may center more on you than ourselves. Awaken our minds that we might grasp the truth of your gift of love in Jesus. Stir our hearts that we might discover new truth, new hope, and new life. Be with us, God, in all that we say and all that we do. Amen. Please join with us in our first hymn, Just As I Am Without One Plea, number 370 in your hymnal.
Friends, please be seated. I hope the words of that hymn work their way into your heart, because it is in that spirit that we welcome you here to the First Congregational Church of the United Church of Christ in Stockbridge, just as we are. There is a Hebrew expression, haknasat akim. Now, translated at its most basic level, that expression means hospitality. But if you read a little bit deeper, what that phrase really connotes is it connotes a deep and generous welcome. It connotes a truthful and honest welcome. It means that we fling open those doors there and welcome people to come in here just as they are. Just as we are. Ready or not, perfect or not, truth be told. And for those of you who are new here, I apologize, I'm about to divulge something. The people who call this church home, we are not perfect. Sorry about that. We have as many questions as we have answers. We carry conflicts. We carry doubts. We have a lot of stuff to work on here in this church. We are not perfect, but we welcome you just as you are. And look around this room. It is a gorgeous room, but this room, it is not perfect either. If you look closely over here on this pole, you will notice bumps and bruises. You will notice scratches on this pole and on this piano from the times that we have tried to bring that piano out and make a joyful noise. If you come to this baptismal font, you will notice it is chipped in this corner. You will notice it is scratched all over. And you will notice it doesn't even sit square. We have used it so much that even the concrete has somewhat turned. If you walk around this room, you're going to notice that the floor, it creaks in certain spots. And even if you come over here, this is a replica of a communion set that was given to us by the Indians hundreds of years ago. It is a replica because the first one was stolen right out of this case. But you will notice if you look closely that this communion set isn't perfect either. If you look at this, and I hope you will notice that pewter plate, its own weight over the years has brought it down upon these velvet rests, and this plate has developed hips. It is not round anymore. Friends, we are not perfect, but we invite you in just as you are, that we might become a family, that we might show love, that we might grow in God. Amen? Amen? Now, if you are new with us here today, we hope you will get to know us better. There's a couple ways you can do that. First of all, there are these slips in every single pew. We invite you, if you are new, or if I don't know how to get a hold of you, to please fill one of these out and place it in the offering plate. If you give me enough information to contact you, I promise that I will. In your bulletin, you will notice a purple piece of paper. It is separate and it is purple, so that you will notice it and take it home with you. It has events about the life of this community in it that we hope you will be aware of. There are two I want to bring to your attention this morning. The first is that we are going to be taking in new members to this congregation. I hope and pray that we will be taking in a lot of new members, and we are going to be doing it on Palm Sunday. For those of you who might be interested in joining, we have a couple of classes, a couple of chances to come and find out more about this church and to meet other people who are joining. The first of those is this coming Saturday from 11 to 2, and then the next one will be the following Thursday in the evening. Pick either one, they're exactly the same. Second, you may not know this, but we started a new Bible study this past week on Thursday mornings. I see some shiny faces of people who are at that study. We are going to be looking at the Gospel of Luke at Thursday morning at 10:15. If you didn't make the first one, you're welcome to come to the second one. Just let me know so I can get you caught up. Friends, welcome to worship. If there are other announcements for the community, I would ask that all who have announcements to come forward to a microphone at this point to make them.
I'm Mary Hotzel from the Prayer Shawl Ministry, and listed on the purple sheet, it gives the date of March 8th. But the change in March is that we will be meeting next Friday, March 1st, instead. It's usually on the second Friday, but we are going to meet this coming Friday, March 1st. It's a lovely, peaceful time of knitting, visiting a little, silence, some Celtic liturgy, and it's a very relaxing time from 10:15, the beginning, until 11:45, thereabouts. So we gather in the Sunday school room and please come and join us if you feel so inclined. Thank you.
And if you're sad that you have nothing to do March 8th in the evening, the Monument Mountain Jazz Band and Band, along with Maureen O'Flynn, are presenting a Pops concert at the Mehewi Theater. So if you would like tickets, they're available at the door, but I also can get you some if that's easier. Thanks.
Next week, March 3rd, is a Housatonic Philharmonic concert at the Lenox Town Hall, and it's free. And both my housemate, David Pascal, and I are looking for a ride if anybody wants to go from here.
Hi, I'm Terry Wise, chairman of the Board of Mission in Action, and I wanted to bring to your attention another installment of the Human Rights Speaker Series, which takes place at Hevra in Great Barrington on State Road. And we participate as a sponsor of this series. And this coming Tuesday, February the 26th, there will be a speaker on the current crisis in Tibet. And we've all heard that there is crisis. There's oppression by the Chinese of the Tibetan people. And yet, I personally don't know a lot specifically about that. It's just sort of something that's always out there. So the speaker will be Tenzin Dolkar, who is the USA Director of Students for Free Tibet. And Ms. Dolkar will provide a comprehensive overview of the current struggle to restore the political, religious, and cultural human rights for the Tibetan people with peace and freedom as the ultimate resolution. So I would invite you to join in. It's at 7 o'clock this Tuesday at Hevra. And off the topic of Mission in Action, I would like to just let you know that David Andereg's opera called The Beasts has been rescheduled. It was snowed out earlier this month, and it's been rescheduled for here on Wednesday, March 6th at 7:30 p.m. Don't miss it.
Good morning, I'm Alice Wilmot, and I'm speaking today on behalf of Church Women United. I was very grateful for Brent's lead-in about not being perfect, because I want you all to know it isn't limited here, that if we take a hard look at our world, we know that it is in sad shape, and we have known that for some time. But Church Women United is each year celebrates World Day of Prayer in March. And I don't know whether it's a testimony to prayer, but I think nobody will think that it's time to stop praying for peace, which is what World Day of Prayer is all about. This year is going to be Saturday, March 9, at the Lee Congregational Church. And Church Women United has deliberately planned it for South County, hoping that some of us will participate. And by the way, we are a participating member of Berkshire County Church Women United. As an added attraction this year, we have a UCC minister who has learned the Lord's Prayer and Aramaic, the language that Jesus spoke. And she's going to share that with us on Saturday, March 9, 1:30 at the Lee Congregational Church. I hope you'll mark your calendars and make a special effort to represent us there. Thank you.
Friends, let us continue in worship, bringing our whole selves before God in our prayer of confession, drawn from the 32nd Psalm as printed in your bulletin. Let us pray. Happy are those whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. While I kept silence, my body wasted away through my groaning all day long. Then I acknowledged my sin to you, and I did not hide my iniquity. Therefore, let all who are faithful offer prayer to you. Amen. Friends, there is a story in the Gospel of John where Jesus is sitting there and there is a sinner who is burdened by the weight of his sins. And Jesus looks up to that sinner and he says, "Where are your accusers? Has no one condemned you?" He says to that sinner, "Neither do I condemn you. Go forth and live with a new life and sin no more." Friends, that is our good news for this day. Jesus came to walk with us, not to condemn us, but to give us new life. We are a forgiven people. I invite you to stand to your feet as you are able, and I ask you to sing the very familiar words, "Jesus loves me." That love of Jesus, it is not a noun, it is a verb. And all Jesus asks is that we share that love, that we spread that love, and we do that every Sunday when we pass the peace. You may not know it, but when you say "peace of Christ," you actually say, "Jesus loves you." It's what you say. And so this morning, I invite you to move around this room as you're able to offer a handshake, to offer a hug, to offer a smile, and say either "peace of Christ" or "Jesus loves you." Friends, the peace of Christ be with you. Thank you.
Good morning, everybody. I am looking for a few children. Any child that wants to come up and sing with me today and sing with Evan? This is a special treat. They actually gave me the mic a second week in a row. That is... Oh, great. Oh, we have some new faces. Hello. Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. My name is Madonna, and I sing in the choir. And look at all these children. Isn't it wonderful today? It always makes me so happy when I see a whole new generation coming to church. That's great. Well, today I'm going to pass out some. Could you pass those down, Irving? Take one and pass them out. So last week we learned a song, and it was, and Evan can play it through in a minute, and it was called the Hymn of Promise, and it was, "In the bulb there is a flower, in the seed an apple tree." Do you remember this? Can you pass those along, sweetie? And we sang it, and we talked about how from little things grow big things, and how this is the season of Lent. We talked about seasons, and that there's more light now at the end of the day. You can go out and play, right? Oh, thank you. So all of those things are happening, and we are thrilled about that. And today, we're going to talk about the second verse. We're going to learn the first verse. Oh, my gosh. We're going to learn about the second verse. And we're going to talk about that there's a song in every silence seeking word and melody. And what does anybody have an idea what that might mean? Evan? Well, thank you, Evan. And does that happen with anybody here? Do you ever, like, have a song in your head or you sing something and then you have some silent time and another song comes in your head? Does that ever happen to you? It does, Irving? Yeah. Yeah, we all have songs. Yes, go ahead. It happens to you, too, where you sing some things and you get a song and you like a song? Well, what I like about church and what I like about church music, because I've been singing church music for a long time, but I actually didn't sing it very much when I was your age because I was in a different church and we kind of didn't do that. So a lot of these songs are really new for me, and that makes me very excited. And so can we hear the first verse of In the Bulb, There is a Flower? We'll hear the tune first. Do you remember this from last week? I know you do. You're great. And the congregation can sing in too. Should we try the first verse? Do you want me to do the first part and then you come in and sing the second part? Would you like to do that? Sing it right after I sing it? Or do you think we know it enough that we can do it all the way through? Right, we can do it all the way through. We got it. Okay, Evan, here we go. In the bulb there is a flower, in the seed an apple tree, in a cocoon's a hidden promise, butterflies will soon be free. In the cold and snow of winter, there's a spring that waits to be unrevealed until its season, something God alone can see. So that's the first verse. And then the second verse, there's something I want to say in between here, because I think all of us know somebody who can sing. I know you can. And And music is a big, important part of this church life and in God's life, and how it weaves, the music weaves through everything we do in this church. It's a huge, important part of this church. And we sing beautiful music every week. And I think it's God's work going through us. And there was a former choir director here at our church called Penna Rose, and she always would say, instead of "in the beginning, there was the word," she'd say, "in the beginning, there was the beat." And that meant the beat and the pulse of life and the pulse of music, and I think it's always been true in this church. So I want you to think about that. And now why don't we try the second verse, okay? There's a song in every silence, seeking word and melody. There's a dawn for every darkness, bringing hope to you and me. From the past will come the future, what it holds a mystery. Unrevealed until its season, something God alone can see. So it really is about the season of hope and mystery and God seeing all. Even if we don't think God is watching, God's watching. And should we do the whole thing all the way through, verse 1 and 2, to put it in? All right, here we go. We're going to do verse 1 and 2. Yes. What? Yes, I do. Oh, well, just sing on the law. That's what they do in the synagogue. I go to the synagogue every now and then, and everybody's singing without music, and they said, if you don't know the Hebrew, just sing on law. La, la, la. There we go. Bob, there is a flower in the sea, an apple tree. In cocoons, a hidden promise. In the cold and snow of winter, there's a spring that's meant to be unrevealed until its season, something God alone can see. There's a song in every silence, seeking word. From the past will come the future, what it holds, a mystery, unrevealed until this season, something God alone can see. Thank you all for this wonderful day, and now you can go to your classrooms.
Our first reading this morning is from the book of Psalms, found on page 477 in your pew Bible, if you'd like to follow along. Verses 1 through 6. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When evildoers assail me to devour my flesh, my adversaries and foes, they shall stumble and fall. Though an army encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war rise up against me, yet I will be confident. One thing I asked of the Lord, and that will I seek after, to live in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in his temple. For he will hide me in his shelter in the day of trouble. He will conceal me under the cover of his tent. He will set me high on a rock. Now my head is lifted up above my enemies all around me, and I will offer in his tent sacrifices with shouts of joy. I will sing and make melody to the Lord. Let us sing and make melody to the Lord with our next hymn, number 263, Immortal, Invisible, God Only Wise. Seated. Our gospel lesson this morning is from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 13, verses 31 through 35, on page 907 in your pew Bible. At that very hour, some Pharisees came and said to him, "Get away from here, for Herod wants to kill you." He said to them, "Go and tell that fox for me. Listen, I am casting out demons and performing cures today and tomorrow, and on the third day I finish my work. Yet today, tomorrow, and the next day, I must be on my way, because it is impossible for a prophet to be killed outside of Jerusalem. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to it. How often have I desired to gather your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you were not willing. See, your house is left to you. And I tell you, you will not see me until the time comes when you say, 'Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord.'" May God add a blessing to the reading of these words, to the understanding of our hearts.
Friends, there was a well-known saying at Yale Divinity School, a saying that echoed off the hallways at the start of every semester. It went something like this: if you think you have captured God, you have captured something, but it sure isn't God. Our professors, especially our Bible and our theology professors, gave us that warning every single semester to warn us to hold our truths loosely. If you think you have captured something, they would say, you have captured something, but it certainly isn't God in God's fullness. And then you know what they would do? Well, they would turn to us and they would start teaching us and encouraging us to, in fact, capture images and ideas and beliefs about God. It is one of the truths about our faith. We both have to hold our truths loosely, but seek after those truths we are called to do nonetheless. We are called to think about who this God is. In some ways, we are called to craft images in our mind of who is this God we serve and who is this God we follow. If you listen to the psalm, or if you listen to the song we just sang, there were tons of images or metaphors for how we describe God. God is our rock, right? We just prayed that a moment ago. So we come up with these images because, as they say, an image is worth 1,000 words, right? You've heard that saying, right? Quite frankly, I think that undersells the power of an image. Images are far more powerful than that. They stay with us in the good times and the bad. Images are our companions and our guides on the journey of life. Images are critical to how we see ourselves and, yes, how we see our God. That saying at YDS was not so much to discourage us from having images, but to remind us to hold them loosely, and sometimes to hold two images of God at once in our hands, to remember that no single image can ever fully capture God. But before I get too far into the sermon, and before you get too comfortable and settled into those chairs, there's a reason I'm here and not there. And that's because I'm going to ask you a question, and I want you to answer. The Bible accounts for dozens of images and metaphors of God. There is no right answer to this question, only an honest answer. Remember, just as I am. What are some of the images of God that you hold that bring you meaning in your life? Light. We just sang about that. Light. Absolutely. What else? Creator. The everlasting arms, right? What else? Love.
Kindness.
What's that?
An act of kindness.
An act of kindness.
Compassion.
Compassion. Hands. thunder. Redeemer. What did Martin Luther claim as an image? We sing the hymn every year. A mighty fortress, right? Prince of Peace. A bird song. Yeah. Music. I think this church would say amen to that. Images that help us to focus on God, they're important. And I would bet that those images have stayed with you in tough times and in good. I hope you were listening to the reading of the gospel today. Because in that reading, we get, I think, one of the most important images of God you could ever have. It is an image that comes straight out of the mouth of Jesus. It is an image that is critical to our journey here in Lent. That image, God, Jesus, as a chicken. That's right, a chicken, a mother hen. And it's one of the most important images of God you could ever hold. I hope that you hold that image with you every day of your life. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, Jesus laments. How often have I desired to gather your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings. Jesus didn't pick out the great eagle of Ezekiel, a bird with razor-sharp talons, a bird rich in plumage, as Ezekiel says, of many colors, the bird that could soar up to the tallest cedar. He picked the mother hen, a bird with no real talons at all, a bird about as plain and as simple as you can get, with wings not meticulously designed to soar, but wings that are perfectly designed to nurture, to gather in, and to protect. The image of God or Jesus as a chicken is not designed to instill fear in foxes like Herod. Rather, to remind us of the intimacy and relationship that God holds for each and every one of us. That wing of a mother hen, if you think about it, it becomes important to the life of that chick before it is ever born. Do you remember Psalm 22? The one that Jesus would cry from the cross? It says this. It says, "You, God, you took me from the womb. It was you who kept me safe on my mother's breast." Wings designed to keep eggs warm and safe until they're ready to burst forth with new life. Wings that then cuddle and nourish the young baby chicks. Did you know that the wings of a mother hen, they contain more filler feathers than they contain flight feathers? It's one of the reasons they don't fly. Those smaller filler feathers, they coddle and they cuddle baby chicks. They actually conform to the individual shape of that little baby bird underneath to keep drafts from coming onto those precious little lives. Did you know that in the moment that a mother hen pulls her wing back from those chicks, if you were to look closely enough, you would see in the down of her feathers the shapes and the forms of all of her little children imprinted right there in her wing. And that is the image of God that Jesus gives us this morning. The kind of intimate, loving care that not only keeps us warm, but leaves an imprint on God's own self. How long have I desired to gather you under my wings, Jesus says. When a mother hen is threatened, when a fox comes the way of her family, those wings, they become something else altogether. She plumps them up, feather standing on feather. She makes those wings become big and big and big and huge. She spreads them as far and as wide as she can, bigger and bigger, feather upon feather, until they block out the sight of all those baby chickens. Feathers flying, distracting, protecting. Yeah, a shield, a fortress of sorts. But here's the thing. Those wings, they're a vulnerable one. They're a vulnerable shield. A wing perfectly designed not for fighting, but rather for nurturing, protecting, and coddling. When that mother hen extends her wings in protection, she does so knowing the cost that might come. Knowing that should those flying feathers and distracting wings not do their trick, should they not frighten that fox away, should that fox, in fact, come forward and grab those wings in her teeth, the wings they're going to break, that mother hen knows that she will feel pain and knows that she will be trapped. Should the fox decide to grab hold, there's not a whole lot the hen can do about it. But her chicks, those precious little babies, they will have the chance to scatter and to flee because those wings, they're perfectly designed to nurture, coddle, and protect. Of all the images we have of God in the Bible, perhaps none are more important than this one, God as a mother hen. When the Pharisees come to Jesus and warn him about Herod, when they say, Jesus, get out of here because Herod is going to try to kill you, Jesus looks them in the eye. And he says to them, you tell that fox, I am on my way to Jerusalem. You tell that fox that I am performing cures, that I am casting out demons, that I am loving my children. You tell that fox that this mother hen is on the way to Jerusalem, that holy city, that amazing place, the center of faith, and yes, the fox's lair. In Luke's gospel, this journey that Jesus describes to Jerusalem, it takes up nearly half of the entire gospel. 40% of the gospel is talking about this trip. And in Luke's gospel, that Herod shows up at Jesus' trial. You tell that fox, I'm on my way. We know that Jesus makes it there to Jerusalem with his chicks, the disciples, in tow. We know that Jesus goes to the Garden of Gethsemane, right? And Jesus settles in. He sits down to pray. And his chicks, they spread out around him. And they do what chicks do when the mother hen is around. What do? They fall asleep, knowing that the hen is there. And we know what happens. The fox shows up in that garden, and those wings, they come out, and they fly, and feathers go everywhere. Jesus isn't protecting himself. Instead, he is giving the disciples, his chicks, a chance to flee, to run, because that's what wings do. And the mother hen, Jesus, we know that he is taken away. That is the story of Lent. We know that Jesus is taken away, and that fox grabs a hold of that hen and shakes the hen back and forth. Jesus is beaten. Jesus is stripped. And we know in the end that that fox takes the wings and nails them to the cross. The fox grabs a hold of the hen. But Jesus says, you tell that fox that my work is not done until the third day. And so we remember that it is on the third day that Jesus' work is complete, that Jesus is raised out of that tomb. We remember that it's on that third day that he goes back and he finds his chicks. Do you remember? He finds them behind a closed doors. Having scattered, he finds them and brings them together. He shows him his wings. He shows the holes in his wings. He gathers them together, and he coddles them, and he feeds them, and he nurtures them, and he shows them those wings because he says, this needs to be you. Take up your own cross. You need to become the mother hen. You need to become the mother hen for all the people of this world who need help, who are vulnerable, who are lonely, who are small. You need to be the hen that puts yourself in harm's way in front of a world that would make children soldiers, in front of a world that would poison the planet, in front of a world that lets people starve. You need to be this mother hen, feather upon feather, whirling wings, protecting, knowing the cost, because he said to those disciples, "You were made in my image. You are to love others," Jesus said, you remember, "just as he has loved us." Friends, this is the reason we do Lent, to remember just how intimate God is with us, to remember just how much God loves us. There are many wonderful and beautiful metaphors in the Bible, and I hope you hold on to many of them and sometimes more than one at once. But there is one I hope you never forget, and that's the one this morning. One that reminds you, not just of who God is, but of who you were created to be, and that is of this, of Jesus, of God. A mother hen with beautiful wings, perfectly designed to nurture, to coddle, and protect. Wings that, if you look closely enough, bear the imprint of all that have been held in their loving grasp. Amen.
Amen.
Each week as we come together in prayer, we lift up the joys and concerns of this congregation, that we might pray for them here and now, and that you might take them with you in the week to come. What joys and concerns do we have on our hearts this morning? We pray for safe travel, and we pray for those firefighters who have lost their lives in duty. Other joys and concerns this morning. We keep the Maycheck family in our prayers and ask God to welcome Seth home. Other joys and concerns. Say that one more time, I didn't hear you. For the birthday of Sophie, 19 years old today. Yes, Nell. I'm sorry, I couldn't hear you. We keep Doris, and remind me of her last name, Salvo. Lori Buffoni. Keep Lori Buffoni in our prayers, who passed away unexpectedly while down in Jamaica. Is that correct? A joy indeed. Yes. We keep the Warren family in our prayer on the untimely death of Holly's brother-in-law. Right?
I also want to pray for the a man that isn't at the speedway. There was a crash the other day, and he was killed.
Where was this?
We
pray for a death at the Indianapolis Speedway as well. Friends, I ask you to join your voices with mine, turning to the ancient Psalms. Psalm 63, let us pray our unison prayer together. O God, you are my God. I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh faints for you, as in a dry and weary land, where there is no water. So I have looked upon you in the sanctuary, beholding your power and glory. Because your steadfast love is better than life, my lips will praise you. So I will bless you as long as I live. I will lift up my hands and call on your name. My soul is satisfied as with a rich feast, and my mouth praises you with joyful lips. I think of you on my bed and meditate on you in the watches of the night. For you have been my help, and in the shadow of your wings I sing for joy. My soul clings to you. Your right hand upholds me. Now, loving God, we lift up to you the words that Jesus taught us to pray, saying together, Our God, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Friends, all that we have is a gift from God. The choice that faces us this morning is the choice that faces us every Sunday morning. The question is, how much of what God has given us do we need to keep for ourselves? And how much do we give back, trusting in God's mercy? The morning's offering will be given and received. Holy and loving God, take these gifts. Take these gifts and bless them. Take these gifts and put them under the shelter of your wings, that they may be nurtured, that they may grow, and that they may go forth as love. God, take all of us who have gathered here and bless us too. Bless us that we may go forth from this place to follow in your steps and to spread your dream. All this we ask in the name of our brother, our Lord and our Savior, Jesus. Amen. Friends, please be seated. Our worship is drawing to a close. But before we leave this place and go out to face whatever it is doing out there, rain, snow, I don't know, whatever it's doing, a couple of invitations for you. First, stick around for a while. We're going to open those doors, and we're going to go through there, and there is going to be food laid out on a table. There is going to be hot coffee, and there is going to be good conversation. I invite you to stick around for that. If you've got some more time, I invite you to stay a little longer. We will be doing the second part of our Mudhouse Sabbath Lenten Education Series today. Today, Steve will be talking to us, and we'll be talking about one of this church's favorite subjects. After music, next comes, of course, food. Absolutely. So please stick around for that. Friends, I'm glad you are here. Let us now close our worship in song. Friends, as you go forth from this place, may you love God so much that you love nothing else too much. And may you fear God just enough that you need fear nothing else at all. And through that, may you truly know peace that knows no measure. And let the church say, Amen. Amen.